Dear friends, I greet you in Jesus' name. My dad considered himself a lucky guy, despite the fact that he had been born on the 13th. In fact, I think that 13 was his lucky number, at least that's what he felt. He was not only born on the 13th, he was also baptized and confirmed on the 13th. I understand that my parents had intended to get married on the 13th as well, but it just didn't work out that way. They did, however, use as their wedding verse 1 Corinthians 13:13. The number 13 was just special to my dad. I don't remember a lot about him. He died when I was barely 9 years old, but I do remember a few things. I remember his smile. I remember his laughter, and I remember how much he loved his Lord. And I have this gut solid memory that Dad loved his family. He loved us. My dad died young at the age of 46. Now, they didn't treat cancer as aggressively in the early 60s as they do now, and so he knew pretty much from the beginning that this was terminal. When it became clear that he only had a few days left, he asked my mother to open up the Bible to John chapter 13, not surprisingly, one of his favorite passages. And he left that chapter to us as his legacy. Now, most people leave property or wealth as their legacy. My dad left a legacy of love and servanthood. You know, at the juncture of life and death, everything looks different. You get a different perspective of life. You see clearly what is really most important. And this was the most important thing, the most important insight he had into life. And ever since, when I read this chapter, I think of my dad, but more importantly, I remember his last wishes for us, that we should serve as Jesus did, that we should love as Jesus did. That's the most important thing that he wanted for us. Quite a legacy. And it's so fitting. Dad chose a passage that was in itself a legacy. Jesus, too, knew that his time was short, and he knew that this was his last supper with his disciples. And so he gave the most important message that he knew to give, that he wanted to leave with them, his last will and testament, as it were. Now, Jesus was not a man of property. There is no evidence in Scripture that he owned more than the sandals on his feet and the cloak on his back. He had nothing to pass on to his disciples except his love and his model of servanthood and ultimately his very life. And that is a very great legacy. It's the greatest legacy you can leave. I mentioned 1 Corinthians 13:13 to you just now, a verse often used at weddings. It's the Apostle Paul, of course, who wrote these words, faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. It has always struck me as somewhat odd that it was Paul who wrote those words. I mean, you would expect them from the Apostle John, who often wrote about love. John is the one who wrote, God is love. But Paul wrote primarily about faith. His greatest teaching is that we are all saved through faith in Christ. And yet, even Paul, when it comes right down to it, wrote that love is the greatest gift of all. In fact, 1 Corinthians 13, together with John 13, are probably the greatest chapters on love ever written. Love is the greatest gift you can give, and the most enduring. Jesus knew that. And so it was that Jesus, knowing his time was short, having loved his friends, showed them just how great that love is. How do you do that? Well, you can describe the fullness of love in a number of ways. You could write a poem, like Elizabeth Barrett Browning, "How Do I Love Thee? Let Me Count the Ways." Or you could sing it, like the Beatles, "All You Need Is Love." But words and even music are not enough. It takes doing to express true love. I remember when our grandson Colin was about 2 years old, and he was at daycare and he saw another child crying. Not having words to comfort him, Colin brought the crying child his blanket, stooped down to give it to him, and patted him on the back. Colin didn't have words to speak, but that didn't stop him from loving this other child. And it is said, whoever loves much, does much. Love is doing. And so Jesus told them a parable. But this time, he didn't use words. He used actions. John 13 is a parable in action. Loving his friends to the fullest, Jesus tied a towel around his waist and began to wash their feet. Not a pleasant job, not when those feet had been clad only in sandals and had walked through messy streets in the hot sun. I know what that's like. There were no sidewalks where we lived in Tanzania, and it was so hot that everyone wore sandals. Not only were the roads dusty, but they were sometimes strewn with refuse, spoiled fruit, garbage, and all the rest. I'm not going to go into details. By the end of the day, your feet were not only dirty and sweaty, they were stinky and unpleasant. In Jesus' day, hospitality demanded that you wash the feet of your guests, the task of the lowest slave. But there were no slaves in the upper room, and Jesus took it upon himself to do it. Perhaps you noticed no one else volunteered. And you could tell that the disciples were shocked. Peter finally broke the awkward silence. "Lord, you can't wash my feet. I won't allow it." And Jesus answered kindly but firmly that it was necessary. Jesus acted on his love, and he did so in the spirit of servanthood. He expressed his love eloquently, but wordlessly, by simply stooping down to care for their tired, sweaty, dirty feet. It was more than a teaching moment. It was more than a matter of hygiene or hospitality. It was a loving gesture, but it was also more than that. It was his legacy. And they needed to understand the value and the importance of this legacy. So Jesus asked them, "Do you understand what I have done?" Because it wasn't a lowly slave that had washed their feet. It was the person that they honored above every other person in the world, the person they held in highest regard. It was their Lord who had washed their feet. That's love. Love is when you forget yourself, your station, your pride, losing yourself in the task that lies before you. Love assumes its highest expression when it takes the lowest rank. Love does. Love serves. Love also sacrifices. You know, when you love someone, you open yourself to the greatest joy when that person loves you back and when that person is there too, so you can enjoy one another's company. But love also opens you up to the risk of great sorrow should your love be rejected, or that person is away from you, or when you are parted in death. When you love, you open yourself up to sorrow and sacrifice. I'll never forget our older daughter's wedding for a number of reasons. It was a joyous day, full of celebration. Everyone was there, including some guests that had been invited, but were unexpected. Grace and Mark were missionary friends. They had served on the west coast of Africa while we were serving on the east coast. Over the years, we would meet every so often in missionary apartments or at missionary conferences. Our son Peter and their son John were friends. They had been confirmed together, both of them having been on home leave in the same year when they were about 13, 14 years old. Now the boys were 20 and Peter was in his older sister's wedding. But John was dying of a rare and aggressive form of brain cancer. They had hoped for a cure and they had nearly achieved it, but a stray cell or two had dodged the bullet and set up housekeeping once again in John's brain. Now the outlook was grim. John wasn't expected to live long. So, while we had invited our friends to the wedding, we never thought that they would come. But they did. John had wanted to be there, you see, so they came. They arrived early, and when I saw Grace, I went to give her a hug. "You are so brave," I whispered, and she sobbed, saying, "I don't want to be brave. I just want my son." Later at the reception, I greeted Mark. He too was on the edge of tears as I hugged him. He said fiercely, "Somewhere out there is a girl who should have been John's bride, and now she will never know that joy." They were grieving while we were rejoicing. It was a tough moment. But then we were all diverted by John himself, who was having a great time, joking and laughing with his buddies. His parents were suffering, but willingly made the sacrifice for him. Later, I thought, you know, it's all because of love, isn't it? We rejoiced at our daughter's happiness, while they grieved the impending loss of their son. But theirs was the sacrificial kind. Jesus demonstrated this kind of love, but on a much larger scale. "Greater love has no man than this," he pointed out, that he lay his life down for his friends. You know, some people, having suffered the painful side of love, put up barriers, understandably perhaps. "Never again," they say, "I won't let myself suffer again. I will keep the barriers up and I will never allow anyone to get close." But most of us would rather take the risk. We would rather risk the pain that love can bring rather than not love at all. Because loving also brings joy. It's the core of all that makes life worthwhile, what brings life meaning. My friends, this is what we mean when we say God is love, because God loves. regardless of the risk. He is not the distant, cool, uncaring, unfeeling being that some think he is. Scripture paints a very different picture. It shows us a God who is near, who loves, who is joyful when we are happy, when we turn to him in trust. And he's a God who is sad when we turned against him, and even sometimes angry when we do stupid things, going our own self-centered way. In loving us, God has opened himself up to every emotion that is associated with love, including acute suffering when we reject him. He also suffers when we suffer. In fact, the Latin word behind our English word passion means suffering. Compassion literally means suffering with. God is both passionate and compassionate. Jesus loved his own. He showed them what it meant when he acted on that love in lowly service. And then he gave them and us a new commandment. You too must love. You must love each other the way I have loved you. That's how people will know that you have been with me. That's what marks you as my own. Dear friends, let's take this legacy to heart. In this time of epidemic, we have many opportunities to serve, to love, to rely on the greater love of God. Tonight, we will celebrate that love. We will experience that great love in just a few minutes as we share the Lord's Supper, Jesus' Last Supper. I invite you to celebrate it with the knowledge that on that night, Jesus would soon be leaving the safety of that upper room to go out and express his love in the greatest sacrifice of all, the act of giving his life as he rescued ours. He would suffer a great deal in the process, physical pain and torture. He would also suffer the emotional pain of betrayal and desertion by those closest to him. Worst of all, he would experience the spiritual pain of bearing the sins of the world on his shoulders and, in some mysterious fashion, he would experience separation from his Father. Something none of us can even begin to comprehend. Jesus gave us a great legacy. It is his last will and testament for you and me to love one another even as he has loved us. So, as you leave here tonight, find ways to express your love through your actions as well as by your words. Know that loving others may involve suffering and sacrifice. It is necessary. There is no higher calling than to love. It is also God's greatest gift to you and to me, a gift freely given, but which cost a great deal to himself. It is that gift which we will taste in just a few minutes, remembering Jesus' loving sacrifice as we partake of his body and blood. It is his legacy for you. Let's take a moment to go before him in prayer. Lord Jesus, you have given us a command to love as you have loved us. A pretty impossible command, and yet you have loved us and you have shown us what it means to love, and you have given us your life. You have given us a taste of your body and blood, so that we might remember what it is that you have commanded us to do. We pray that you would fill us by your Holy Spirit, that we may love in the way that you have intended us to do. Lord, help us to go beyond our own boundaries, to go the extra mile, to do whatever needs to be done at that moment, and to do it in your name. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this great love by which you have loved us. For we pray in your name. Amen.